Good morning and welcome to Spotlight on Industry. I'm your host, Sam Mason. This morning we find ourselves back in the factory at Laclede Chain in Maryville. In just a couple of minutes, we'll sit down with Laclede's Director of Materials and longtime employee, Tim Catlett, to learn how this local company, which is now part of the oldest chain manufacturing company in North America, makes chain for use in trucking, shipping, lifting, and traction. We'll go on a tour of this century-and-a-half-old Maryville company that started as a blacksmith shop to hear how they make chain in the modern era. Stick around as we shine the spotlight on industry.
Support for Spotlight on Industry on KXCV KRNW comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, coordinating economic development services for the City of Maryville, Nottoway County, and the Maryville Industrial Development Corporation. Their services include finance and incentives development, site location, industrial development, and small business assistance. More at MaryvilleMo.org. And from Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, the park provides Nottoway County residents and visitors with an 18-hole golf course, driving range, and a 9-hole junior course coming 2015. More on Mazingo's golf offerings is at MazingoLake.com. Support also comes from the City of Maryville, Missouri, offering residents and visitors opportunities in education, employment, healthcare, and recreation, as well as agricultural, industrial, retail, and professional services. More information about the City of Maryville is at www.maryville.org.
Chain. It's not something we think about every day, but if you live in a climate that is much more snowy and colder than here in northwest Missouri, it's an absolute necessity. If you live on a farm, chances are you have multiple lengths of chain in varying dimensions, and each one has a different job to do. If you're a truck driver and you're hauling a load right now, chances are that load is secured by chains. If you've ever pulled a trailer, you should have hooked up safety chains to the tow vehicle to ensure that the trailer doesn't end up passing you on the highway, which would be a bad thing. Yes, chains have many uses and many applications, and one of the oldest chain manufacturers in North America is located right here in Maryville, Missouri. Laclede produces chain that is used for all the reasons I mentioned, plus about 150 more. Well, this month, I sit down with Tim Catlett, materials manager at Laclede, to learn about this company and the many uses of chain. Well, Tim, let's jump right into it and talk about the company. I know that Laclede is the oldest chain manufacturer in North America, but what can you tell us about Laclede right here in Maryville?
It's my understanding that the chain making in Maryville was originally uptown around the square, and our business did get started dating clear back to 1854, basically as a blacksmith shop, and they were making chain and chain accessories for the wagons and horse-drawn implements back at that time. At one point it was called Lloyd Chain, and then it was called Nixendorf Lloyd. And about 1976, the company that owned us really in St. Louis and in Maryville had two manufacturing facilities, and they really wanted to get them under one roof, and Maryville was then chosen for that. In 84, they expanded this facility so that they could bring the St. Louis operation up here. We were purchased by a company called Laclede Steel, and that's where we get our name today, Laclede Chain. Through a series of events, Laclede Steel sold the company in April of 2010, and the present ownership, which is private, has owned us since 2010.
When we talk about chains, we all have used chain at some point in our life, whether it's helping tow your buddy out of the ditch, or whether it's hanging up your kid's swing set, or seeing chains that are used to secure a load on a truck. What are some of the applications and usage of chains that come out of this factory?
Really, there's a very wide and a variety of chain use. What we manufacture here is what we call welded link chain, so everything is formed and welded as and made out of steel. Those applications, as you mentioned, might be a tow chain that a farmer would use, might be to hang a swing set, tie out your dog gate chain used by in the ag industry to secure gates, security type chain that might be used to lock out equipment and keep it secure. Many of the over-the-road trucks that you see use chain to bind their loads down, someone hauling a tractor or a piece of equipment, as well as many industries use chain to lift loads or move equipment around, whether it be inside the factory or building a building, even on the shipyards and moving product and cargo. The other large segment of our business is our tire chain business, which we make traction devices. Most of those traction devices are used in the over-the-road trucking industry. They have to get the trucks and the goods over the mountain passes, and when it becomes snowy, they have to chain up and meet the chain up laws for that, as well as chain that is used for people to go into the mountains to go skiing. We don't think about that much around here, but they do. Chain up laws are required that you carry chains, and if you want to go up into the mountains or go over the passes, you have to chain up.
Of course, even for a passenger vehicle.
Yes, yes. All the way down to little bitty snowblower chains that you might see or use here in the Midwest. Of course, in the Midwest, when they plow the roads or farmers need to get into the fields to feed cattle, they may have to chain up. And that really applies here in the Midwest to the East Coast. So most of our chains there is used for snow removal. You might even see our own city of Maryville, whenever they're plowing the streets, be able to be using tire chains in that way, and they may even be our product.
So in a passenger vehicle on a mountain road, for example, if a person even has a brand new set of snow tires on their car, or all-season tires, I guess, maybe I'm dating myself by referring to snow tires, but all-season tires, having that set of chains on there is still a superior form of traction as opposed to just relying on the tread on a tire.
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, most states have chain-up laws that you, during bad weather, you have to be carrying chains, and they'll actually have signs that tell people that they must chain up to get over the pass.
You had mentioned that the chains that you make are welded link chains. And we always hear the adage, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And I'm sure that when we get out into the factory, we're going to see how you test that chain for strength. But let's talk a little bit about that, because I think that's interesting. How do you test a chain for strength? And what are those requirements for the strength of a chain?
Well, first off, the requirements are set by basically an organization made up of all the chain manufacturers. Some of that has been in place for a very long time, and as new chain comes out, they review the requirements and update those standards. So we go by a set of guidelines that's we're part of, so that we can ensure that that chain is going to be safe to use. You are right that it's only as strong as its weakest link, so we do testing to try to make sure that we don't have any weak links within that chain. Chain is, by design, is supposed to break at a point or fail at a point in which it stretches so that you can see that you have a failure that's about to happen. Chain is designed so that it is to be used within what's called a safe working load limit. Like anything, then we test that chain above and beyond that throughout our process to make sure that it meets those requirements. So it's tested above what the user is supposed to use it at. Every link of chain going out of the building is tested to that to make sure that it meets that.
And when you said that that link of chain is designed to stretch, when it does actually fail, it's typically not at the weld that it fails, is it?
No. The by the design of chain, the way the chain links hook together, the actual breaking point should always be where the links join each other, because there's a shearing action that happens and it basically shears itself in two at that point. So the weld should be as strong as any other part of the link.
The steel that you're turning into chain, where does that typically come from? What steel mills does that come out of?
All of our steel is bought domestically through three or four different rod mills that manufacture here in the United States. We buy all domestic steel for the chain that we make.
Certainly there are quality standards that you have to meet when you're dealing with something as important as chain because of the loads that it carries. Tell me a little bit about the grade of steel that is used in chain here at Laclede.
The steel that we use, we'll buy it for the various grades of chain that we make. Some of it is lower strength, non-heat treated chain, and then some of it is higher strength alloy material that gets heat treated. So the rod is very important going into that, and it's selected based on the grade of material as well as the size of chain that we're going to be making.
Let's shift gears for just a couple minutes and talk just a little bit about the employee base here at Laclede. One of the focuses of the program is the economic impact, and certainly, you know, wages that are earned here in Northwest Missouri end up being recirculated back into the local economy. So how many employees do we have at Laclede?
We have about 120 here in Maryville at this facility. 70% probably are within 10 miles of Maryville, and then the rest would be, you know, some outlying areas, some people that travel a little further to work here.
Laclede chain is based out of St. Louis, and of course we have this facility in Maryville. Are there other Laclede locations in the United States?
Yes, there are. As you say, Laclede is based out of St. Louis with our administrative office. We have our administrative and sales office in Fenton, Missouri, which is a suburb of St. Louis. We also have a manufacturing facility in Vicksburg, Mississippi, producing chain just like we do here and assemblies for that chain. And then we also have a sales and warehouse office out of Vancouver, Washington, and they are primarily responsible for the warehousing and the sale of our traction products.
And so, in summary, what's the main thing that you would like for people to know about Laclede Chain?
Well, I think the important thing is that, number one, we are American-made. We are trying to promote the American small business ownership. I'm very proud of our ownership and very proud of the products that we make and proud of all of our employees that work here and the products that we make to serve the industries and businesses that we serve.
Well, I'm looking forward to taking a tour of the facility. I think the chain making process seems like it's something that's going to be very interesting for our listeners to learn about. So I appreciate your time today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Tim Catlett, materials manager at Laclede Chain in Maryville. Here's a fun fact for you. If I were to ask you, in what shape is an individual link of chain, you'd most likely say, it's an oval. Others may say that it's ring-shaped. Now, if I were to ask a mathematician that same question, they'd most likely say that it is a torus. That's T-O-R-U-S, for those who'd like to look it up online or in the dictionary. I myself am not a mathematician, but even so, when I read the definition, it made sense to me, but to sufficiently explain it on this program would take too long, so I'll leave it to you to do the research yourself. I can tell you that other real-world examples of toroidal objects include inner tubes, swim rings, and even a donut. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, Tim will lead us on a tour of the factory. Stick around.
Support for Spotlight on Industry on KXCV KRNW comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, coordinating economic development services for the City of Maryville, Nottoway County, and the Maryville Industrial Development Corporation. Their services include finance and incentives development, site location, industrial development, and small business assistance. More at MaryvilleMo.org. And from Mazinga Lake Recreation Park, The park offers residents and visitors camping facilities for tents and RVs, as well as lakeside cabin rentals. Mozinga Lake also offers boating, fishing, hiking, and equestrian trails. More information about Mozingo is at mozingolake.com. Support also comes from the City of Maryville, Missouri, offering residents and visitors opportunities in education, employment, healthcare, and recreation, as well as agricultural, industrial, retail, and professional services. More information about the City of Maryville is at www.maryville.org.
Welcome back to Spotlight on Industry. If you're just joining us, we've been talking with Tim Catlett of Laclede Chain in Maryville. There has been a chain manufacturer in Maryville since the mid part of the 1800s. Originally, blacksmiths made chain that was custom ordered. The customer may have been a farmer or a teamster who needed a specific length of chain for a specific purpose. So they go to the local blacksmith shop and order their chain. The blacksmith would then set to work shaping each individual length from a bar that he probably recycled and made himself. Now, the bar would have been heated in a forge until it was red hot and then hammered around the horn of an anvil until it was round or oval shaped. The two ends would be slightly overlapping. Then it was back into the forge until the metal was about 2400 degrees Fahrenheit and glowing bright yellow. The blacksmith would pull it out quickly, take it back to the anvil, and start striking the overlapping ends, thereby fusing or welding them together. It would take a good blacksmith a full day to make a 10-foot length of chain. Well, the Industrial Revolution changed all that, and the process of making chain became mechanized, thereby increasing throughput dramatically. Let's go into the factory to find out how chain is made in the 21st century.
So, Tim, it looks like we're starting in receiving. What can you tell me about what we're seeing here?
We bring our hot rolled rod in by truck and store it all outside. That hot rolled rod is then brought into the building in which we clean to remove any rust and corrosion. We also run it through a sizing operation called our wire draw line. That helps make sure it's a consistent size so that we can move it on to our form and weld operation. The coils are roughly 5,000 pounds, and we split them down into some smaller sizes. Those smaller size, after the material is drawn, we then call it wire. So we go from hot rolled rod down to what we call wire.
And then you said you're going to clean all the rust and the scale off of it. What's that process look like?
Well, it's a dip process through some acids that help us clean that to remove that rust and the scale. And then after that, it's ran through a wire draw process in which it's pulled through a carbide die and sizes it.
Okay. And so, what I'm seeing here are coils that are laying essentially horizontally and being pulled into that wire draw machine right now?
Yes. Okay. At the head of the wire draw machine is a die, and that material is being pulled through that carbide die and being re-rotated or re-wrapped onto a carrier that we can then take to the machine for the forming and the welding.
Once the raw material has been cleaned and drawn down to size, it's wound around a spool called a hi-hat, and then taken to the form and weld department, where the chain starts to take shape. Tim explains.
Right now we're standing at one of our many form and weld groups. The wire is pulled off of the carrier and run into a forming machine. At the start of the forming machine, we have hallmarking or stamping that is placed on the links for grade and manufacturing identification. The material is pulled into the machine and the links are formed around a mandrel. That mandrel then laces the links together to create a piece of unwelded chain. The unwelded chain is then passed through a welder, which welds every single link of chain. From there, it's It's then passed through a testing machine that puts a stretch and a calibration on the chain before it's put into a steel bin box or a steel tote, which normally has around 4,000 to 5,000 pounds of chain within the tote.
As we've learned, the chain made by Laclede is used for different purposes. The intended purpose of the chain determines how tough it needs to be. The age-old method of making steel harder and tougher is to heat it up and then quickly quench it, which changes its molecular structure. Tim explains the heat treatment process at Laclede.
So what we're looking at here is our heat treat furnace. Basically, the chain is pulled through it, through a heat coil, into a quench tank, and then through a temper coil, and it's brought out then to air cool, and we'll put it back into the tote box, which again is roughly 4,000 to 5,000 pounds. That chain will then later be processed into whatever assembly or whatever means of package that we'll be selling to our customer.
Does all chain require that heat treatment?
No. Only certain grades of chain require. Normally your higher strength chains or the chains that need more hardness are going to be heat treated.
And does it just go through a water bath?
Yes, it is.
Once the chain has been constructed, it's tested to the breaking point. We don't think of chain as having elasticity, but when it's under enough stress, it will first stretch and then break. If all goes well, it should break at the point where the two links come together. Tim explains the process, and in a couple of minutes, you'll hear a loud bang. That's the sound of a 3/8 inch chain breaking.
All right, right now we're at our quality check station, quality testing station. And this is where we take samples of chain. We will measure them to make sure that they're meeting the dimensional requirements. We'll also do break testing. And break testing is where we take and we do a destructive test and break the piece of chain. When we do that, we're determining the load that the chain broke at, as well as the elongation or the amount of stretch when it broke.
So we were talking earlier about the testing process and that stretch, and I see a bin here that looks like it's the chain that has been tested and broken. So what would I be looking at in this to see where it failed?
Well, as you look at all this chain, obviously it's tested to destruction. So what you're going to look at is the area in which the chain broke. As you can see with this piece of chain, it has a real nice elongated section, almost to where the links won't even hinge anymore. And you can also see here at the end of the link where the link broke. It actually sheared because of the link next to it had a shearing action at the break. So that would be a successful test. So in this case, this was actually the weakest link that we talked about earlier, but it did break correctly and at the right value.
Okay. And then this bin will just get recycled at some point, sends back to the steel manufacturer and recycled?
Yes. We sell all of our scrap. Some of it goes right back to the mill to be recycled.
I see.
Wow. Even though we were standing there watching and waiting for the chain to snap, you're never quite prepared for that moment and for that bang. Now, all chain is designed to have a certain amount of strength, but it's also designed to break at a point much higher than its load rating. When you think about it, it really has to be. After all, if a person is pulling a stump with a tractor, they have no way of knowing how much load is being put on the chain. By building a chain that has a breaking point that's higher than the load rating, it builds in a certain amount of safety. As we moved through the plant, I noticed that some chains had different finishes than others, so I asked Tim to explain.
I noticed that the chain coming out of the machines that we just saw has a very dull finish to it. other chain that we use or that we see in the marketplace has a shiny finish to it, or maybe even some sort of a coating on it. Do you do that type of work here as well?
Yes, we do. The shiny finishes that you see are typically electro-galvanized. It may either be in what we call a clear finish or a gold finish. Some chain will get a process in which a colored finish or a paint is applied, and in many cases a lot of our chain leaves the building as a self-colored or just as a raw steel chain.
Okay. Can we take a look at that process of making a chain shiny?
We take the chain, we pull it out of the tote bin or the bin box, and we put it through a cleaning operation as well as through a tank that puts a zinc coating on it and a chromate then that protects that zinc coating against corrosion and also gives it that shiny, clean appearance.
So this is a bin of the chain that has the electro-galvanized finish on it.
The next stop on the tour was the assembly area. As we learned earlier, one of the Cleed's most important product lines are tire chains. In this area, the various pieces of the tire chains are cut to length and then assembled by hand.
All right, this is our assembly and packaging area. And in this area is where we take the various chains and we assemble them into the products that our customers need. It could be trailer safety chain, it could be a tow and binder chain, it could be an alloy chain sling, and tire chains. The chain is taken in the full boxes, tote boxes, and we pull it through various machines, maybe either to cut it to length, taking a very long piece of chain and cutting it down into short lengths, maybe 5 length, all the way up to 2 or 3 feet, maybe to 100 feet. Putting special attachments on it, be it hooks, end fittings, to create the special assemblies that our customer needs.
So those attachments, the hooks, those types of things that we see, do you manufacture those here or are those something that you purchase from an outside vendor?
Most of them are purchased from an outside vendor. We do make some wire form attachments such as trailer safety hooks, but most of them are forgings, which we buy. We do not do any forging here.
The last stop of the day was the packaging area. The Cleed also makes and warehouses chain that will later be purchased by customers such as original equipment manufacturers, who will use it in their own manufacturing process. In this instance, a large tote full of a continuous length of chain will be brought up from the warehouse and put through a machine that automatically measures it out, cuts it to the required length, and loads it into a smaller container, such as a barrel or a bucket. Tim explains.
So what we're doing here is we're taking our bulk chain, we're pulling it through a process in which we're measuring out a specific length and cutting it. We're packing it into the drum to the customer's requirement. This particular chain may be used in 100 to 150 different applications or different products. Maybe different packaging, different end components may be installed depending on the customer's needs. That number of products takes a lot of planning, a lot of coordination between our sales department, our manufacturing and production inventory control to make sure we have the right product at the right time and can get it out to the customer at the right time.
We concluded the day with a stroll through the warehouse. As I mentioned, much of the chain the Cleed manufactures is custom ordered, but much of what is in the warehouse is simply product on hand that can be cut to length and shipped as the orders come in. On another note, this month's show marks the 1-year anniversary of Spotlight on Industry. In the past 12 months, we've visited some great companies and learned about a lot of the products that are made right here in Northwest Missouri. We've explored how steel is drawn into straight bars and wire, how small engines are made using Japanese manufacturing techniques, how paper tubes are made for explosives, how lifting equipment is made for the trucking industry, and even how bees make honey. Karen and I are looking forward to 2016 and all the places we'll go to learn about more great companies and great products. We hope you'll join us. I'd like to thank my guest this month, Tim Catlett from Laclede Chain in Maryville. Next month, we'll begin a new series on energy. We'll start right here on our own backyard at Northwest Missouri State University, and we'll learn about the university's award-winning efforts to generate its own power while reducing costs and reducing what goes into the landfill. In the following months, we'll tour the Lost Creek Wind Farm in King City, Missouri, and then we'll head over to Brownville, Nebraska to tour the Cooper Nuclear Power Station. It should be a lot of fun and educational, so be sure to join us the first Tuesday of each month at 9:06 on 90.5 and 88.9 as we shine the spotlight on industry.
Support for Spotlight on Industry comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, and the City of Maryville. More information on all of our sponsors is available at MaryvilleMo.org. Spotlight on Industry is a production of KXCV-KRNW and Northwest Missouri State University. Our editor and producer is Karen Lawrence. For more information about how your company can be featured on Spotlight on Industry, please contact Sam Mason at 660-562-1163.